Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Cirino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. My apologies for the lack of podcasts over the past couple days. I have been traveling. I'm actually recording this in a hotel room right now. I'll be back home on Saturday. I'll do the film review then. Today on the show, we're going to do, we have a lot of Steeler news to get to or to go over that I've missed over the past couple days. We're going to talk about a lot of that today. We have more changes coming to the Steelers defense, including a new inside linebacker that may be entering the lineup this Sunday. We have an update on Le'Veon Bell and his potential return to the Steelers. We have an injury report for the Steelers-Ravens matchup on Sunday. And then I want to talk about the keys to victory for the Steelers in this upcoming matchup with the Baltimore Ravens. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Cirino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. Find us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. You can like the Facebook page or join the Facebook group. And you can find us on Instagram now, Locked On Steelers on Instagram. And let's start today with the injury reports for the Ravens. This is a long one. Bear with me here. The cornerback Anthony Averett has a hamstring injury. He will not play in this football game, nor will defensive tackle Willie Henry with an abdomen injury. He is also out. Questionable for the Ravens is cornerback Brandon Carr with a knee injury, tackle Ronnie Stanley with a foot, linebacker Terrell Suggs with a knee, tight end Hayden Hurst with a foot, linebacker Larry Levine with a hamstring, linebacker CJ Mosley with a knee, and defensive tackle Michael Pierce with a foot. They have a long, long list of injured players there. Now, the key ones that the Steelers are going to care about, Ronnie Stanley, their starting tackle, will he play? It sounds like he probably will. Terrell Suggs, same thing. He probably will play in this game. CJ Mosley, according to John Harbaugh, he expects him to play as well. And so, you know, all of the major players that could, oh, and Brandon Carr as well with that knee. We'll see if he plays in this game as well. But it sounds like, generally speaking, the players that the Ravens really care about as far as playing in this game will all be there. For the Steelers, the injury report, if you were following it on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, did not look great. You had Juju not practicing at times. You had Pouncey being held out for a coach's decision. Same thing with Ramon Foster. But the final injury report came out and only two players listed, and they're both listed as doubtful. Cornerback Mike Hilton, of course, has that elbow injury. It did end up just being a hyperextension, but you know, he has not been able to practice this week, so he's listed as doubtful. But it sounds like Mike Hilton's not going to go here, and so Cam Sutton will likely see some time at slot corner in his place. And then safety Morgan Burnett with a groin injury. Look, I know he practiced on Wednesday, but then did not practice on either Thursday or Friday, so he kind of went backwards with that groin. Look, you had to expect that Morgan Burnett, just given his injury history, you know, a groin injury like that was likely going to keep him out for multiple weeks, and it will keep him out both in Tampa Bay and now here against the Baltimore Ravens. Juju, fully healthy now, full practice on Friday. He's good to go with that abdomen injury. David DeCastro with the hand, also a full participant and ready to go in this game, as is tackle Marcus Gilbert with his hamstring, a full participant. The Steelers' offensive line back intact. And Juju's going to be ready to go. So from the Steelers' injury perspective, it all looks pretty good other than the issues they'll have in the secondary. And we'll talk about that here in a second when we talk about some of the changes the Steelers are making defensively. Before we continue today's podcast, let me tell you about our sponsor for today's show, MyBookie. You know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with. And that's why this season, MyBookie is your best bet. They've been in business for years, they have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. I've been using them all season for my three-team teasers, and this week, my three-team teaser is the Chargers -5 over the 49ers. We saw what the Niners looked like last year without Garoppolo. It was not pretty. I like the Chargers to win that one easily. The Jaguars -1.5 over the Jets. Yes, the Jaguars lost a weird game against Tennessee, but that's a division game. Those games are always close. The Jags always struggle with Tennessee. I don't expect them to struggle whatsoever with Sam Darnold and the Jets. I still think the Jaguars are one of the better teams in the AFC. And then the New Orleans Saints going to New York to face the New York Giants. The Saints were +2.5 if you do a 6-point teaser here. So you can tease that line all the way to Saints +2.5. I like the Saints to win this game. I like them to win easily against New York. That offense in New York just hasn't shown a lot that they can keep up with a team like the Saints, a high-powered team like the Saints who are going to come out and score early in this football game. So the Saints +2.5 seems like an easy one. Maybe too easy. And that's probably the one that gets me. But I like the Chargers -5 over the Niners, the Jaguars -1.5 over the Jets, and the Saints +2.5 over the New York Giants. You can join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. And if you wait until after 7 p.m., they'll give you an additional $25 of free play if you use the promo code LOCKEDON25. So visit online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you can get an additional $25 of free play by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. And then let's talk about some of those changes the Steelers are making defensively. Look, I know we're all frustrated with where the defense is at this point through 3 weeks of the season, especially considering that the issues we've seen defensively this season are so similar to where this team left off defensively a year ago, and all those things don't seem to have been addressed or addressed satisfactorily over the offseason. You do have to give it to the coaching staff, though, that they're not just going to stand pat with this defense, right? They're willing to make changes even this early in the season, only 3 games in, and this team is already changing things up defensively. Last week, of course, we saw Artie Burns was benched or entered into a rotation with Cody Sensabaugh, and that ended up with Cody Sensabaugh being moved into the slot after Mike Hilton got hurt, and then you saw Cam Sutton on the outside as well. So the Steelers certainly making some changes at cornerback, and according to Mark Caboli of The Athletic, they also simplified the defense or simplified the defensive calls last week as well. Bud Dupree telling Mark Caboli, quote, "Whatever was called, that is what we played. Vince is the quarterback. Last week we had checks, so we had 4 plays in one, and this week they did not." Essentially, you know, when they were playing Kansas City, and this happens a lot with the Steelers defense, they'll have checks, right? I mean, you know, whatever look the offense is giving them, they can check out of one defense or into another. And of course, that is what resulted in so much of the miscommunication over time. And, you know, with everyone not being on the same page with what check they should be in. So in order to solve that, what did Keith Butler and Mike Tomlin do? But just remove the checks from the game plan. Whatever's called, that's the defense. Now, you know, you can argue that maybe that did lead to some of the success that the Steelers had defensively on Monday night, especially in the first half. I mean, they had 4 turnovers. They had the pick six. I think some of that was just Ryan Fitzpatrick and poor play. But look, the Steelers defensively did cause some turnovers there. Now, you can also argue it's just not sustainable throughout a 60-minute game, especially against a high-powered offense, right? And the Bucs had a ton of offensive success on Monday night. You have to wonder, against Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens, who know this team so well, is simplifying the defense going to make it even easier for Joe Flacco and that offense to pick this defense apart? We shall see. Now, this coaching staff is not standing pat again. You know, Monday night, not a great defensive outing overall. And so the Steelers are making some more changes defensively. Matthew Thomas getting first team reps in practice. And according to Jeremy Fowler, quote, "He confirmed he's received some first-team reps with the Steeler defense Thursday and Friday. Might still be experimental at this point, but the coaches have told him to be ready Sunday in case they need him." So, look, Matthew Thomas for John Bostic has been the dream of every Steeler fan since training camp, right? I mean, Matthew Thomas was always supposed to be the savior at inside linebacker. I don't think the Steelers are ready to make the switch full-time just yet. Bostic has been far from the worst player on this defense. He hasn't been great so far, but I thought he's been very good against the run. And look, he got beat up against the Kansas City Chiefs, but really everyone on that defense got beat up in that football game. I expect that Matthew Thomas will be used, if at all, in this game. I think he's going to be used like he was in the preseason, in situational passing downs. You know, we talked about that seminal defense throughout preseason, which was a third and long style of defense. They brought him in and moved Vince Williams to the edge. I don't think we're going to see exactly the seminal defense, because, again, that was moving Vince Williams to the edge, and you would essentially be taking T.J. Watt off the field. I expect the Steelers will keep T.J. Watt on the field, but still play Thomas in a dime defense or a dime-type defense where maybe they're playing him. Again, Morgan Burnett's sitting out of this game, so Nat Burr will come in as the dime linebacker. Will they play Thomas some there? Will they play, Matthew Thomas in a nickel situation? We'll see. I expect him, he will definitely be in on some passing downs. I just don't expect to see him as a full-time starter just yet, although, again, getting him on the field is the first step in making him the starter on this defense. I do like this move overall. I mean, I like the idea of getting Matthew Thomas on the field. The Ravens love to attack with the tight end. They love to attack the middle of the field, and the middle of the field has been such a soft spot in this defense. Thomas's athleticism can certainly help us there. And so overall, look, I think this is a good move for the defense. Just don't expect Matthew Thomas to become the full-time starter here in week four. And then, you know, look, even if the Steelers do shore some things up in the middle of the field, even if Matthew Thomas can come in at times and help cover the tight ends, this team still has a real problem at outside corner, and they don't really have a solution for it just yet. Tomlin saying again during his Tuesday press conference that this is just going to be another rotation type situation. You're going to have Cody Sensabaugh, Artie Burns, and Cam Sutton. Now, the slot corner is going to play into this because no Mike Hilton means that likely Cam Sutton's going to start as the slot corner. So you're going to see another rotation between Cody Sensabaugh and Artie Burns. You know, and I guess you could play Cody in the nickel there as well. They did that last week, although I don't know how successful it really was. The second half of that game was pretty bad defensively. The Steelers don't have a lot of answers here at outside corner. I mean, it can be Cody Sensabaugh, but again, Cody Sensabaugh is a known quantity. We know what we're going to get out of Cody Sensabaugh. He is average at best. Artie Burns, you know, look, I know he's been disappointing to this point in his career, but he's the only real corner we have outside of Cam Sutton with any sort of upside. And so if the Steelers are benching Artie Burns right now to play Cody Sensabaugh, I mean, again, it's a short-term thing that can work for a game or two, but overall, this team either needs to start Artie Burns and figure out whether or not he's the guy or not, or give up on him. And again, when Mike Hilton is healthy, if Artie Burns isn't the guy, I don't know why they're wasting time trying to start Cody Sensabaugh. If it's not Artie Burns, start Cam Sutton on the outside, play Mike Hilton in the slot, Joe Hayden is your other outside corner, and go with it that way. And again, if Cam Sutton's not your guy on the outside either, then this becomes a much bigger problem that needs to be addressed in the offseason. But I just don't like the idea of Cody Sensabaugh all of a sudden becoming a starter on this defense. Again, we know what he is. He's not a great corner, and you have to find out if Artie or Cam Sutton is that guy, because if they're not, then as I said, you have to go outside the organization during the offseason and find one. I still think this can be a part of the Le'Veon Bell trade as well. If the Steelers could find a corner to come in and compete at the outside, I think that would be worthy of a potential Le'Veon trade. And then speaking of Le'Veon Bell, Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette did a mailbag the other day and was asked about Le'Veon Bell and when Bell will potentially show back up and how much playing time he'll get. Jerry Dulac said during that mailbag, quote, "It's more likely the Steelers will get rid of him than play him in 2018. Now, that is interesting. Now, we've heard the Steelers are looking to trade Le'Veon, as I've said, I think it's going to be difficult for the Steelers to find a trade partner that the Steelers would be willing to accept the offer for. But then we do have a lot of other things going on around this Le'Veon Bell situation. Of course, the Steelers making a big emphasis over the past couple weeks of cutting out all of these distractions and all that. And of course, when Le'Veon comes back, the distractions open themselves back up again because, you know, Le'Veon will be talking, right? Le'Veon will be back in the team talking. The players will be talking about him. The Steelers just have a hard time keeping their mouth shut during cases like that. So, you know, all of the distractions are going to come back up the week he comes back, and that'll be whatever it is, week 10, week 11. I'm sure the Steelers are not looking forward to that date, and that's why the Steelers are open to trading him. Now, as I've said, trading him is going to be difficult. So the new question that comes up, and especially based on what Jerry's saying there, is that the Steelers will get rid of him, would rather get rid of him than play him. Does that mean that rescinding the franchise tag is back on the table? I know Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio writes about this basically every week and has every angle on it that you could possibly imagine. And to this point, I think it's been kind of silly to talk about the Steelers rescinding it. I mean, again, if they rescind the tag, it is my understanding that if they rescind the tag, it's very unlikely they're going to get that compensatory pick in 2020. If they rescind it, he can then Le'Veon is then free to sign with any other team. Again, he will then be playing in 2018, so you could be letting him go for no compensation and helping one of the other contenders in the AFC get stronger. To this point, I've always felt like that's just not in play. But when you consider everything that's happened this season, the fact that when Le'Veon gets back, it's going to be a disaster in Pittsburgh. I mean, you just know it's going to be a disaster when he comes back. I don't know. Maybe it could happen. If the Steelers can't find a trade partner, and again, at this point, if you're the Steelers and you really want to get rid of him this bad, all a team has to offer you is a third-round pick in 2019, and that is better than the pick you're going to get in 2020. Now, of course, you know, Le'Veon has to sign his franchise tag in order to be traded, so that, you know, that still enters into the mix. The team that's trading for him can't give him the long-term deal, so there's a lot of variables in play with this Le'Veon trade, but if they can't get it done in the next couple weeks, Would they rescind the tag before he shows up, before he signs it and shows up in week 10? I think that's very interesting, and I think it certainly is in play for the Steelers because they want to avoid the drama that's going to surround Le'Veon showing back up in Pittsburgh. And then before we finish up today, I do want to talk a little bit about Sunday's game between the Steelers and Ravens. I did a full breakdown with the guys over at Locked On Ravens on Wednesday's crossover show, so highly recommend you listen to that if you haven't already. Today, I don't necessarily want to talk about the matchups and all that because, again, we did that on Wednesday. I do want to talk about a couple concerns I have about this team on the offensive side of the ball. I know we've talked a lot about this defense and the concerns we have defensively, and look, there are many because we have not played well defensively, but there are two worrying aspects of this team offensively that need to be fixed and need to be fixed by Sunday. Bill Cowher was 108-1-1 when his team had an 11-plus point lead. Now, look, he coached in the 90s. It was a different NFL back then. It wasn't as high scoring. It wasn't so much of a passing attack back in the 90s. The rules have changed drastically since then to make it more of a passing league, a more high scoring league. And so 11-point leads aren't as safe as they used to be. But the Steelers this year are terrifyingly close to 0-2 when they've had 11-plus point leads. They're 1-0-1 in those games. But that game against Cleveland where we had a 14-point lead, again, if they make that field goal at the end, we lose. If the Bucs had the ball, down three, looking to score, and again, I think a lot of Steelers fans felt like at that point that the Bucs were about to drive down and take the lead and potentially win that football game. And, you know, again, credit to the defense because they got that stop. But this offense has not scored in the fourth quarter of either of those football games. Now, what Bill Cowher would do back in the 90s, right? If you watch Bill Cowher football, it's very simple. I mean, his teams were all about get that lead and then run the ball and play defense, right? Shut it down, run the ball, play defense, and get out of that stadium with a win. And he did, again, as his record shows, 108-1-1. The problem I have today with a Mike Tomlin-led football team is that we don't have, not only is the NFL more high scoring and an 11-point lead is not as safe as it used to be, but we don't have a high-powered defense that we can just shut it down offensively and go out and win football games that way. What is a lead that is big enough for this team to have that you feel like defensively we're not going to give it up? Was the 20-point lead we had at halftime, did that make you feel good enough to feel like, yeah, we win this game now, there's no way we lose it? Of course not. Right? I mean, I think every Steeler fan went into halftime thinking, okay, you know, 20-point lead, we're good here, but we got it. We probably got to score a couple more times just to put this thing to bed for sure. And that's because, you know, we've seen this defense give up 30-plus so many times. And there we were on Monday night thinking the same thing. Randy Fichtner and Mike Tomlin have to go into every possession offensively as if it's a must-score. It's a must-score situation. I don't know how late into games this offense should be shutting it down. Again, if you have a 14-point lead going into the fourth quarter, are you shutting it down offensively? Or do you still feel like, yeah, you know what, one more touchdown just to be sure? Because that's how I feel. I feel like this offense, again, needs to be aggressive all the way through. And you can argue that in the first game, did the aggressiveness cost them some of the turnovers at the end? The fumble happened on a James Conner fumble, and then you had the sack fumble in overtime when the offense was trying to score. I just feel like there's too many weapons on this offense right now, and this offense is too good to be shutting it down in the way that's been happening in the last couple weeks. And again, I'm not even saying that it's going, you know, all run and getting completely conservative, but the play calling itself is getting more conservative, and they're being less aggressive down the football field, and certainly with more of an effort on, you know, again, running out the clock and just getting out of the stadium. It's just not a winning formula for Pittsburgh right now. Again, week one, 14-point lead, that game ends in a tie. Last week, 20-point lead at halftime, that game ends with the Steelers winning by three but not scoring in the second half. This offense can't afford to take its foot off the pedal because, again, when it does take its foot off the pedal against Cleveland, it couldn't turn it back on again. And that's been another problem for this team is when all of a sudden it feels like, okay, now you know what? We do need to put together a drive. We do need to get another score. They can't do it. You know, this offense, again, and it's because, and I think that at the end of the game stuff where they can't turn it back on again is because this team has a hard time getting going. This team hasn't scored in the first quarter, but for, again, Vance McDonald's stiff arm, that's the only play, or that's the only time this offense has scored in the first quarter. This team gets off to such slow starts. And it's not necessarily a Randy Fichtner thing because, again, we saw this last year with Todd Haley at times. So, you know, again, is it Ben Roethlisberger trying to find his way around the defenses? I'm not sure. But this offense has to get out to quicker starts because, again, we're going to be playing from behind so often if we don't. if we're not scoring in the first quarter, if you think our defense is shutting teams out in the first quarter right now, I mean, it's just, you know, it's so unlikely. I mean, we were down 7-0 against Tampa Bay. We were down 21-0 against Kansas City. It's going to keep happening to this team. They have to be better about getting off to quicker starts. And I know the first 10, 15 plays are all scripted, but, you know, this team, they just have to be better in that way as well. And again, going up against a Baltimore team, if you think this team is up by 14 at halftime and can just afford to shut it down in the second half, and Flacco and company aren't going to come back and tie that game or potentially win that game at the end, you're crazy, right? I mean, Tomlin would be crazy to go about it that way. And again, I think, you know, again, if you think that Joe Flacco and them are going to get off to a slow start in this football game, again, I just don't see it. I just don't see any way that that's how this game plays out. So I'm hopeful in this football game that we see this offense start quicker. And again, don't take your foot off the gas. Don't feel like any lead in this football game is big enough. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.